Hello and welcome to the Fit Girl Radio, your go-to podcast for everything fitness, health, mindset, and lifestyle to empower you to live your best life. Are you ready to step up your game? Today, we're going to bust five popular fitness myths. There is so much information out there on social media, on the internet, on YouTube. You literally find it everywhere, and so much is just bullshit and crap. And sometimes it's hard when you're going through TikTok or you're going through Instagram, especially on TikTok, it's really hard to know what information on fitness is the truth and what isn't, because there's a lot of toxic stuff out there that isn't true. There are articles saying, or TikTok saying, that you shouldn't eat more than 1,200 calories, which is absolutely insane, because you need a lot more than 1,200 calories, let me tell you. And there is so much information out there that is simply not true. So let's go over five popular fitness myths that are absolutely not true and that you should just ignore. And if you come anywhere across any of this information, just run, because nothing on that platform will be true. The first popular fitness myth is that you need to train abs if you want to lose belly fat. A lot of people think that they can train a certain area in their body if they and then lose fat in that area. For example, somebody who says, I want to lose fat on my arms, so I'm going to train arms. I want to lose fat on my stomach, I'm going to train abs. It just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So many people come to me saying they want to train abs because that's where they want to lose their weight. But if it were that easy, it would be so much fun, because then you can just train whatever you want and see the changes immediately. But unfortunately, it isn't that easy. Where you hold your fat is genetically predetermined, meaning that where you will lose fat first and where you will gain fat first also depends on your genetics and not on which body part you're actually training. You can train your abs as much as you want. If there is a layer of fat over it and you're not adapting your nutrition or your calorie expenditure, you won't see any difference in the amount of body fat in your belly region. So what then should you do to lose the belly fat? You have to lose fat in general. And to do that, you have to be in a slight caloric deficit, where you expend more calories than you consume. In simple terms, this can be achieved by either lowering your food a bit, increasing your physical activity, or preferably doing a combination of both. Because you can train them all you want. I promise you, you will not see them. If you do not hold your fat in your belly region, then training them will make a difference, because you will be able to see the differences. However, your fat lies above your actual abdomen. So if you train your abs, you will not be able to see the definition until the fat is gone. And getting the fat gone is done through proper nutrition and making sure that you're in a caloric deficit. So please, please remember that. If you're, for example, when I'm bulking, I don't train abs, because what's the point? I'm bulking, there is a layer of fat over it, you won't be able to see it anyway. I can do some core exercises to be able to stabilize my core to perform my lifts better, but I will not on purpose train abs so I can see them better, because I know I won't be able to see them anyway. Whereas when I'm cutting, that's when I start to incorporate lots of abs exercises, because I know the layer of fat above it will shred away slowly as I'm cutting deeper and deeper, and that's when they actually be visible. So that's a good moment to start training your abs, but not when you're in a bulking phase, and training your abs will not make you see your abs. Very important to remember. The second fitness myth is girls who train too heavy will become bulky and masculine. So many girls are like, I don't want to train my upper body, I don't want to become bulky, I don't want to look like a man. You will not look like a man, I promise you. There's this idea that girls will get the physique of big male bodybuilders when they train upper body. However, women don't have the testosterone or the growth hormone levels that men do. So getting to that level is extremely difficult, if not impossible. You truly don't build muscle as quickly and easily as some might think. Some people think, wait, if you keep on training, aren't you scared that you're just going to explode of muscle? Well, if only it were that easy, if only training my muscles every single day would make them grow incrementally. It doesn't work that way. Building muscle is really, really hard. It takes hard work and a lot of consistency to actually build them, let alone trying to get them as big as like male bodybuilders, which is as as I said, as good as impossible to actually get the physique that a man has, because we simply have different genetics, we have different growth level, we have different hormone levels. Girls who train heavy will change their body composition and look more toned and fit. So please, to all the girls out there, go train your upper body. Don't be scared by it. You will be amazed with the results and how it actually makes you look more feminine and not masculine. You will be able to get that shape where you have that wine glass figure. That's the one I was looking for, where you have broad shoulders, a broad back, and then a small waist. And that's what we want to create, because the broader your upper body and the wider your lats are, the smaller your waist will look. And that's that wine glass shape figure that everybody's talking about. So please remember, training your upper body will not make you look like a man. It will simply not, okay? And the third fitness myth is that carbs at night will make you fat. And this is a very popular one. This is one that we also hear all the time. Don't eat carbs at night. Don't eat, or some people say don't eat carbs at all. It's actually a myth that we have to bust immediately. It's so important to stress that carbs, whether it's at night, whether it's in the morning, whether it's during lunchtime, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is, it will not make you fat. It's a caloric surplus that will result in weight gain and not the pure concept of eating carbs. People also only think about things like pizza, fries, chips, cookies, etc. when they think of the word carbs. However, also think about rice, about oats, bananas, rice cakes, pasta. These are all very clean carb sources that will fuel you and that will give you energy throughout the day and provide your muscles with the necessary glycogen stores to be able to function and recover optimally. It's all about the calories in versus calories out throughout the entire day. So if you haven't met your daily calorie need yet, eating those calories at night will not make you fat, because you need those calories. If you have met your daily calorie needs already though, and then you consume extra food at night, and that puts you into a surplus of calories, then that might be stored as fat though. Say for example, you've eaten all of your meals throughout the day, that keeps you at the maintenance, and then you go party at night, and then you have pizza, you have alcohol, or even if you then have a clean bowl of pasta, or if you have a clean bowl of oats, those extra calories that puts you into a surplus, that will make you gain weight. And even if it's protein, you can also overconsume on protein. It doesn't matter which macronutrient it is, whether it's carbs, whether it's fats, or whether it's protein. If you get into a caloric surplus, you will gain weight. Not by eating carbs. It just doesn't work like that. The bottom line is, it's not the act of eating at night or eating carbs that will make you gain weight. It's whether you're overconsuming calories or not that will decide your weight. What might happen though, if you have a big meal right before you go to bed, you might be a little bit heavier in the morning because you ate so late at night and not all the food is digested yet, or you're simply holding on to some extra fluid in your body because of the carbs at night. It's very important to understand that this is not fat that you've gained. It's simply food still digesting and some extra water weight. If I know, for example, that I haven't eaten all day, I've kept all my meals for the evening, not on purpose, just because I was busy and didn't have the time yet, and then I have my big dinner, I have it at like 10 p.m., I know that I will wake up a bit heavier because I've just eaten later, so my food has had less time to digest compared to all the other days where I have my dinner at 7:30. That's a 2.5 difference. And that will make a difference in your morning weight. Is that fat? No, it's simply just a food that's still digesting in your stomach. And it can also be some extra water that your body is still holding on to from the carbs. It's not fat. And it's very important to actually know the difference. Regardless, it is preferred to consume most of your calories and carbs throughout the day, and specifically look for a good nutritious breakfast and a good pre-workout meal with a decent amount of carbs, because that will give you the energy throughout the day and the energy that you actually need for your workout. Keeping all of your carbs for the night, it's just not the best thing you can do, because you could have used that energy throughout the day to feel energized and have optimal workouts. So distributing your carbs properly, a good amount in the morning so you have energy to start your day, a good amount right before your workout so you can have your carbs as a fuel for your workout, that will be optimally. But that doesn't mean that keeping them for a night will make you fat. Not at all. It's just not optimal for your general energy levels throughout the day. Number four, if you're not sore, you didn't train hard enough. If you closely pay attention to that, you will notice that you're most sore when you hadn't worked out for a while and you're just starting again, or when you just tried a new exercise that you've never done before. And that's because your body is not used to that exercise or to the type of training, or at least not anymore if it's been a while that you've trained, which will make you sore the next day as it's a new stimulus. If you then continue training consistently again, or you start doing that new exercise consistently, you will get less and less sore. This doesn't mean that the exercise doesn't work anymore. It just means that your body is adapting to the load and the stimulus, and it's recovering more efficiently accordingly. The soreness that you feel after a workout, it's called delayed onset muscle soreness, or more usually called DOMS. And this happens more often when your muscles are not used to the heavy loads that you just did in your workout. And as you progress and your muscles start to adapt, you won't be experiencing DOMS as much anymore, except for when you're doing an abnormally hard workout, or you're doing one that's significantly different from your other trainings, or when you've introduced a new type of exercise that places a different stimulus on your muscles. For example, I used to do rope skipping for years, and then I quit for 5 years. When I had one training again, I restarted. I had one training, and my calves were sore for an entire week. It was so painful. But only that first week. And after that, no matter how much I trained, I didn't have any issues with sore calves anymore because my calves got used to it again. It was just a new stimulus. They were like, whoa, what is this? We are not used to being trained this way. And then they get used to it. And it doesn't mean that the workout wasn't working anymore. It just means that my muscles have adapted and now they are finally recovering properly and efficiently. Because at the beginning, they weren't, because they just weren't used to the stimulus that I was using. So instead of focusing on how sore you are, focus on progressively overloading your trainings, meaning that you progressively increase the load in small increments so that your body slowly adapts to it. And this progression can come in many forms. It can be increasing your weight a bit, doing some more reps with the same weight that you've used last time, or you do the same weight, you do the same reps, but you add an extra set to your workout. So for example, let's say I usually do 3 sets of 12 reps of lateral raises with 5 kilograms. The next day, not the next day, you're not going to train your shoulders 2 days in a row, but next week, when I'm training shoulders again, I can either try to use 6 kg again for 3 sets and 12 reps, or I can try to do 3 sets again with the same weight, so also with 5 kilograms, but now I'm going to try to do 15 reps instead of 12. Or if I want to keep my reps at 12 and I want to keep my weight at 5 kilograms, I can just add a 4th set and then I do 4 times 12 reps. These are all ways to progressively overload your muscle, and that's how you will actually grow your muscles, and that's how you will progress. Also, all of these are good ways. There's not one that's better than the other, and you don't have to combine them either. One of them is enough, just one way of progressively overloading. And this way, you will actually progress in your training without feeling like you've been hit by a bus after every workout. Because after all, being too sore, it will only keep you from training effectively, as you will have to give your body more time and more rest to recover before you can train that specific body part again. And training sore, saying like, screw it, I don't care that I'm sore, I'm gonna train through it anyway, it will only lead to you not being able to lift as hard as you would normally do, or do the motions as well. For example, your range of motion, it might be a lot less when you're sore. For example, when you're doing Romanian deadlifts and your hamstrings are really sore, it might be really hard to do a Romanian deadlift again. And it will just make the exercise ineffective because your range of motion won't be good. It will just hurt. It won't feel good. And that just won't be effective at all. You first need to let your muscles recover before you can actually train them properly again. Being sore too much and too often, it's also an indication that you're not recovering properly. And that is crucial, as I've just said. If you want to see progress, you have to make sure that your body is recovering properly so that by the next time you train that body part again, you are ready to kill it again. And it's not still sore from last time. You can actually do the range of motion as you would normally do it. And you can do the exercise with the normal load that you would normally use it, or even progressively overload. And then the last The last myth that I want to bust is the longer the workouts, the better. Many people come with the excuse that they don't have time to spend 2 hours in the gym every single day. They're like, yeah, I want to work out, I want to get more fit, but I don't have the time to go to the gym 2 hours a day. So I can't do it. It's not possible for me. Well, guess what? You don't have to, and you also shouldn't work out for 2 hours straight. That's simply way too long. What's important is how effective and how efficient your workout is, not how long you're actually training. If you're lifting weights, for example, 45 minutes to an hour, it's more than enough. Almost all of my sessions are 45 minutes to 1 hour, in between that range. Maybe if I'm training legs very intensely, it can be a little over an hour, but I'm almost never training over an hour. Going any longer, it will only push your muscles to a level where you're not even doing the exercises properly anymore, and you're pushing them to a point where they will not be able to recover properly. All you have to do is choose your exercises wisely, and that way you can get a very, very good workout in just 45 minutes. And on top, it will be way more effective than doing a 2 hour workout with just some light exercises that are not challenging you anyway. All right, that was it for today's episode. I hope it was helpful. I hope it taught you something that you didn't know yet. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any other things that you want me to cover, any other myths, or just in general, any other fitness content that you want me to go over, just let me know and I will gladly do an episode on it. Hit the subscribe button for new podcasts every single week. Check out my socials in the show notes for more content. And let me know what your thoughts on this podcast were by leaving a rating on your favorite podcast platform. See you next time.